This is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, O-H-A-I-R. The address is 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago. We give you that address because we're always glad to hear from our radio friends. We've been hearing from our radio listeners for many, many years. We have been broadcasting without interruption except for a few days since the 17th day of July, 1924. We've always tried to be true to the Word of God and to the gospel of the grace of God. I'm quite sure that the greatest need of this world today is not religion, but a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is mentioned by noun and pronoun 6,988 times in the 27 books from Matthew to Revelation. And remember, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he also said, He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And for this reason the Apostle Paul said, Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto the Father by him. God will have all men to be saved. There is one God, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. He went to the cross of Calvary and put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He made peace through the blood of his cross. And God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now the Bible has a great deal to say about the soul. I presume you remember the message in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. It says in the 10th chapter, remember these wonderful words, the 39th verse of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We are not them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. My dear friends, your soul has either been saved or it has not been saved. Now the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared once in the end of the ages, and he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And in the shadow of the cross he said, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. And we're told in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah that God would make his soul, the soul of Christ, his Son, an offering for sin. The Bible says, The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now after the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, you remember what happened. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Then we read that he died and was buried. And as he said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And so he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs after his death and resurrection. And then we read that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now there's very much involved in that, for we read that God would not leave suffer his Holy One to see corruption, neither would he leave his soul in Hades. Thus we have the statement that the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ went to the Father, the soul went to Hades, and the body went to Joseph of Arimathea, the rich man. In fulfillment of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, that the Lord would make his grave with the rich. In the first chapter of Peter, we read that when we come by faith to Calvary and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, that we're begotten unto a living hope by his resurrection from the dead. And that's an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And we receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our soul. You remember what the Apostle John wrote to his friend. It's a wonderful message there. He said in the third epistle of John, the second verse, he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." As thy soul prospers. Well, is your soul prospering? Have you received the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul? Are you numbered with those who have drawn back unto perdition, or with those who believe unto the saving of the soul? Now, when your soul is saved, it is saved by the grace of God. But we read, you remember, in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, if we are here when the Lord comes, the hope of the church is not, remember, the body of Christ is not to die. Death may overtake us, but our hope is to be alive at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Undoubtedly, the greatest number of Christians who were ever alive at one time will be alive when the Lord Jesus Christ, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, calls every member of the church to be with him. And we say, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Body, soul, and spirit, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, transformed. These bodies of humiliation will be fashioned like unto his body of glory. Though the outward man today decay or rot thoroughly, the word perish there, though the outward man perish, the word is in 2 Corinthians 4:16, though the outward man rot thoroughly, the inward man is renewed day by day. But we who have received the first fruits of the Spirit and the end of our faith, the salvation of our soul, remember this, we are groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We read that in Romans 8:23. Now, you remember what the Apostle Peter said when he was about to die in 2 Peter 1? He said, "Shortly I must put off this tabernacle as the Lord hath showed me." Well, the Lord told him all about that in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John after his resurrection. He said, when you're old, you will have to be led about. And he was suggesting the martyr baptism of the Apostle Peter, that he was going to die. He told James and John in the 20th chapter of Acts of Matthew, beginning there at the 20th verse, on through four verses, he told them that they were going to experience martyr baptism. Martyr, M-A-R-T-Y-R. They were going to be baptized unto death. As the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross of Calvary, he said in Luke 12:50, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" And when he went there and experienced his baptism, his death on the cross, he had already said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death." And his soul was made an offering for sin. And not only his soul, but he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And remember the suffering of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and how he suffered, and what he suffered, when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and said, "If it be possible, let this cup fall from my lip." Now then, God says, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he said to us here, notice, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." In a sense, the whole Bible is told us in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And what does that mean? Well, listen what we read in the second chapter of Romans. Don't you let anybody deceive you with the devilish doctrine of annihilation, telling you that you're going to cease to exist. The solemn thought is that when you were born into this world, you were born to be your own individual, personal, conscious self forever and ever and ever and ever, and you'll never cease to be. And this world is divided into two groups, that those that are on the way to eternal conscious perdition and those that are on the way to eternal conscious glory. And the one thing that will be between the people in eternal conscious glory and eternal conscious perdition will be the precious blood of the Lamb, the spotless blood of the spotless Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. And remember what God says, we're justified by the blood of Christ, to him who loved us and washed us or loosed us from our sins in his own blood. He made peace through the blood of his cross. And we read in Romans 3:24 that we're justified by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus through faith in the propitiation which he provided for us in his shed blood. Read Romans 3:24-28, the good news that's there. Now notice what he says here in the second chapter of the book of Romans. He said, despisest thou the riches of God's goodness in Romans 2:4, the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, and after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to know that your soul has been saved. I wonder what is the full meaning of the last verse of the 10th of Hebrews, where it says, we are not of those who draw back unto perdition, but those who believe unto the saving of the soul. Then there's a very difficult verse that we have, the last verse of the 5th chapter of James. Let him know that he that converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sin. Well, that's a very difficult verse to understand. But remember this, God says the soul of every individual who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. There are two reasons why we're going to eternal conscious perdition. Of course, when the books are opened, the book of death, and the judgment there will be against those who stand before the great judge at the white throne, they will go to eternal conscious perdition because of their sins and iniquities and their wickedness. But in the final analysis, it will be because they have not accepted the remedy. For remember, with the sin question changed to the son question, when the Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, and the first question today is to ask, is not what shall I do with my immoral habits and my ungodly ways, but what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Remember that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, and we're absolutely without excuse. But how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? God has provided this wonderful salvation for us. In Christ Jesus I am accepted. Accepted, secure in him am I. By faith I claim God's promise. I know he cannot lie. God gave me life eternal when I received his Son. What God did for me at Calvary can never be undone. I'll tell you why I have a song, as along my way I go, to Christ my Savior I belong, I would have you know. He fills my heart with joy and peace by his power divine. My life in Christ shall never cease. I sing because he's mine. This is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago. If you'd like a copy of the message that we've given, write in and send the postage. If you want several of our books, we've written published over 150. And if you're interested in the set of charts, we have a set of charts with a picture of the whole Bible and the explanatory notes in detail. Please tell others of the broadcast. Until our next broadcast, this is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago, saying goodbye and God richly bless you.